This week is Parshas Va'era, the second in the book of Exodus. So, Vayadaber Elokim el Moshe, God speaks to Moshe, Vayomer Elov, and he says to him, Ani Hashem. So, it begins, Vayadaber Elokim. Elokim always represents Gevura. So, Elokim speaks to Moshe, and he says to him, Ani Hashem, I am Yud Kei Vav Kei, I am the God of compassion. Va'era el Avraham el Yitzchak ve'el Yaakov bekel Shaka. And I appeared to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov with Kel Shakai. Ushmi Hashem, and my name Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, loy noidati lohem, I didn't make known to them, or I wasn't known to them. Yet it doesn't actually say, and with my name Hashem, I wasn't known to them. It's Ushmi Hashem. It doesn't say Uvishmi, and with my name. It just says Ushmi Hashem, and my name Hashem, Loi Noidati, I was not known to them. So grammatically, it's not so 100% clear what it means here. So the Zohar Kodesh says, why does it say by Kel Shakai, Vo'era, and I appeared to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov with Kel Shakai, Ushmi Hashem lo noidati lahem, and when it talks about the name of God that's written with four letters, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, it says, Yediyah, knowing. So Kel Shakai means seeing, and Yud Kei Vav Kei means knowing. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, I appeared to Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov with Kel Shakai, and as Yud Kei Vav Kei, I didn't make myself known to them. I didn't say with Yud Kei Vav Kei, but as Yud Kei Vav Kei, I didn't make myself known. So the Zohar Kodesh says, Bekel Shakai, what does it mean with Kel Shakai? Beinun Gvanin de Ischazion, with these colors that can be seen. Ushmi Hashem lo noidati lohem, and my name Hashem I didn't make known to them. Ilin Gvolin Iloin, these are the higher colors. Steamin, these are the hidden colors. Dezehirin, that shine much brighter than the colors that we can see. Dezocha b'hu Moshe, that Moshe merited to see these colors. Listaklo b'hoin, he could see. Verozuhu, and this is the secret, this is the mystery, says the Zohar Kodesh. De'eino sosim, this is the secret of the closed eyes. Vigalio, and it can, and everything is revealed. Sosim, if your eyes are closed, chame aspaklaria de nahar. If your eyes are closed, then you can see with the pure light, with the pure lens. Aspaklaria is from the Latin aspeculare. It means in English there's a phrase, through a glass darkly. There's through a glass clearly. So to see through a glass clearly, there you have to have your eyes closed. Isgalia, if your eyes are open and it's revealed, chame espaklare de lo nahar, then you see with through a glass darkly. Va'aldo, says the Zohar Kodesh, va'ero, and I appeared, meaning I let the Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov see me, ba'aspaklaria de lo nahar, they saw me through a glass darkly. Di ubiskani, because they had their eyes open. Beiksev ri'ir, and so it's appropriate to use the word see. I appeared. Baspaklaria de nahara, but if we're talking about seeing through the glass clearly, di ubistima, that you have to have your eyes closed. Ksiv be yedia. That's why it says to make known. Til siv lo nedat, it says, I did not make known. Because Moshe is knowing, and Avram Yitzchak Yaakov are seeing. So the Ishbitz explains like this. Seeing means that the thing you're looking at is separate from you. It's not you. You can't see your own eyes. You can't see your own eyes. Your eyes can only see what is not your eyes. Knowing is that you feel something. And that's why, but not feel in the sensory way. Knowing is not feeling in the sensory way. Knowing, the Ishbitz says, Lamoshel, he gives a moshel, an example. Ha'adam kishuhu besimcha. When you are besimcha, then you know the thing rather than see the thing. Very interesting. I spent a lot of time this week trying to figure out what does Ishbitz mean here. This is Bisyakiv here in Pashas Ve'eiro. What does it mean? If I look at you and I see you, it's different than if I look at you and I'm filled with joy. If I look at you and my experience of looking at you is an emotional one, there it's proper to say, I know you. Not, I'm looking at you, I know you. If I look into your eyes and you look into my eyes, and we are both filled with simcha, with joy, we're rejoicing that our experience of each other is, when I look into your eyes, that I am filled with emotion, that is yedia, that's knowing. It's not seeing at all. It's really profound what the Ishbitz is saying here. If my experience of God, I see God. That is Re'ia, that's Kel Shakai. If my experience of God is just an emotion, there's no sense of, I'm seeing you, but only a sense of affectedness, that's yedia. That's not Kel Shakai. So if I look at you and my response is an emotional one, then I'm not looking at you, I'm knowing you. So the Ishbitz goes on to explain, what does it mean here? That even though Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov had faith in God, and even though they obeyed whatever God told them to do, and even though they were very great, and you know, we live by the achievements that they did and they made, nevertheless, aligning yourself with God is looking. If God tells me to do something and I bring myself into line with the commandment, then I'm looking. Moshe doesn't align himself with God. Moshe, whatever God says to Moshe, that is who Moshe is. And so Moshe knows. Moshe doesn't see. So the Ishbitzer says that the difference between Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and this isn't to say that they were lesser, but maybe Moshe is building on what already he has inherited from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But as soon as Moshe Rabbeinu reads the Torah, that's how it becomes. He doesn't have to say, "Oh, now I'm going to obey. Now I'm going to do as I'm told." He doesn't. That is not how Moshe Rabbeinu's experience of the Word of God. So when Moshe says, Moshe asks God, "When they say to me, 'What's God's name?' What should I tell them?" The actual words there, "Va'omru li ma shmoi ma oimer elehem," the last letters of those four words, "Va'omru li," and they say to me, "Ma," what, "shmoi" is his name, "ma," what should I say to them, is yudke vovke. That name of God, which represents the knowing, that's already in Moshe without his knowing. What does that mean? The Gemara says, Hamispalo, if a person is praying, like, and this is how it's come down to us for thousands of years, when we daven Shemoneh Esra, Kishuhu Koreya, when a person bows, Koreya Beboruch. So he bows when he makes the brocha. Right? So the custom is, you bend your knees when you say Baruch, and then you bend at the waist when you say Ato. Ukeshu Zoykev, when a person straightens up and stands up straight, Zoykev B'Shem, you do that when you say the name. And you know, I don't know, I was asking about different religions, I don't know how many different religions have a custom of bowing at the name of God, but our cousins, the Muslims, when they say the name of God, they bow down and they put their head on the floor. They touch their foreheads to the floor. Our minhag, going back to the prophets, is just the opposite. I bow when I say, "Blessed are you." And then, when I say God's name, I'm standing up straight. So the Ishbitz explains that this is what's happening, this is what's coming to us through this revelation that Moshe Rabbeinu is having here in the Seder. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov see God still as the other. What does it mean to bow? To bow means I have an awareness. If I'm bowing to you, I have an awareness that you are greater than me, that you are more powerful, you're better than me, whatever it is. I have an awareness that you are not me, and I'm not your equal. Which means that I'm seeing you. If I bow to you, I'm seeing you. And I bow to acknowledge that you're greater than me. I'm less than you. Ushmi Hashem lo nidati lehem. But when I say the name of God, Yudke Vovke, then I'm not seeing you, God. I'm knowing you. If I'm knowing you, then we're not separate. You know, Reb Allen is the one who put this sentence into like a few words. If I think of God as the other, then I'm still pagan. Because we have had a revelation of Yudke Vovke. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has manifest to us Yudke Vovke, and that the Chachamim tell us you have to stand. You have to be standing up straight when you say the name Yudke Vovke, Hashem, because if you're bowing, it means you're bowing to the other. It means you're seeing God. You don't know God. How could you say Yudke Vovke and then still experience God as other? It's not possible. You can't bow to yourself. Kikriyo shayach kishayesh shnei devorim elu. The Ishbitzer says. Ve'im yichra b'shem, and if a person bows when he says the name Yudke Vovke Hashem, then it means you're standing in front of God. And that means God isn't in you. U'be'emes hakoyach shel Hashem is baruch hu b'toicho odam. Yudke Vovke is in you. Ve'ech yimtze bo'y chisorayin. How could you feel less than? Part of bowing is to acknowledge that I'm less than. But if I'm saying Yudke Vovke, if I'm saying the name of God and I'm knowing it, then how can I feel less than? One part of the infinite cannot be less than another part of the infinite. It's not infinite. It's only before I get to the name I can say, blessed are you, and I'm still looking at God or towards God, Pnei Lifnei Hashem, then I can bow. So seeing means that there is another, that there is the other. Knowing means there is no other. So the Zohar Kodesh says that Moshe Rabbeinu, because his eyes are closed, meaning that he's not looking at God, because the name Kel Shakai is a acknowledgement, you know, the name Kel Shakai comes from the word Shadayim, which means breasts, and the idea of God as breasts is because a mother, when she nurses her babies, she really wants to give them a whole belly full of milk, right? But a baby would choke on a whole belly full of milk. So a woman's breasts are designed, very, 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 very tiny little drops of milk come out from very, very small, whatever it is, and they gather, and the baby has to nurse and suck and pull, and so that it's not overwhelmed with the chesed of the milk. In the nursing of the mother, in the breast of the mother, the whole idea of tzimtzum, of withholding the chesed, and in the name Kel Shakai is built into that awareness of it's the other. It's coming to me via HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is flowing into the world. There's a shefa, there's an abundance that flows into the world with God's rachmonis, with compassion. It doesn't overwhelm me. It comes, bahadroga, comes a bit at a time. All these things are clear in the name Kel Shakai. But in the name Yudke Vavke, we transcend this. In the name Yudke Vavke, we are in the knowing, which means that all I have is not an intellectual awareness, it's an emotional response. I'm being affected. So I'm open when I say HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, when I talk to God as Yud Kei Vav Kei, or I'm aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Yud Kei Vav Kei, I'm open in a different way. I'm not aware of Tzimtzum. And it's interesting that The Ishbitzer brings the Rambam in the second perek of Mada, in Hilchos Yisoidei HaTorah, the laws of the fundamentals of the Torah. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God knows His own truth, knows it as it is, and He doesn't know it with a knowledge which is external to Him, the way that we know ourselves. We and our knowledge are not one. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Creator, He and His knowledge and His life are all one from all sides and corners in all manner of unity. Which is to say, Nimtzeis ata oimer, Hu hayoidea, He is the one who knows, V'hu hayodua, and He is the known, V'hu hadeo atzma, and He is knowledge, Hakol echad. God is knowledge, God is the known, God is the knowing. The Rambam talks about yediyah, about knowing, and splits it into these three, right? So you've got the paint, you've got the whiteness of the paint, and you've got the thing that's now being painted white, right? So you've got das, yediyah, and yoideya. Knowledge, knowing, and the know. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all of these things. When I am connected, when I know Yudkei Vovkei, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu now reveals Himself to Moshe, with Aspaklari de Nahara, with His eyes closed, at that moment it becomes clear that Elohim, Kael Shakai, Sevokois, Kael, all the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all the names of God, they're all one. And really, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, their awareness of God as other, or their movement, their evolution towards understanding God as not the other, has come to this moment of perfection that happens as the Seder opens this week, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that God reveals Himself to Moshe in this new way, that the Zohar HaKadosh talks about this great mystery, when Reb Shimon Bar Yochai reveals this mystery. He says that Reb Abba and Reb Elozer, they kiss His hand, and they cry, and they have no words with which to. They say, what are we going to do, Reb Shimon, when you leave the world? Who's gonna explain this to us? We need to have somebody to take us, to lead us, to walk us through these steps to that moment of aha. And the Ishbitzer says, when you get to that moment of aha with Yudke Vovke, where you know that it's not the other, that it's you, at that moment, all the other names of God, they all fall into that same place. It's all one. So, this is how the Sedra opens. Moshe, after being told to go and tell the Jewish people that I'm going to bring them out, says, V'lo yishamu el Moshe, and the Yidden wouldn't listen to Moshe, mikotzer ruach me'avodah kosher, because they were short of breath in the hard work. So, God says to Moshe, come speak to Pharaoh and tell him to send out the Yidden. Vayidab Moshe lifnei Hashem. And Moshe speaks before God. Leimon, he says, Hein b'nei Yisroel lo yishamu elai. Look, the Yidden wouldn't listen to me. Ve'ech yishmaini paroi. How is Pharaoh going to listen to me? Ve'ani aral tzifasoyim. And I am hard of speech. I don't have confidence when I speak. So, back when we were learning Vayichi at the end, the last portion of the book of Genesis, and we were talking about the blessings that Yaakov gave his children, and how he didn't bless the first of the three sons, Reuben, Shimon, and Levi. So the Torah tells us, Eile Roshei Beis Avoisam, and now we get the Yichus of these three families of Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. And as soon as the Yichus of Reuven, Shimon, and Levi is re-established, that they are the children of Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. So now Moshe comes again to the Jewish people. And again he tells the Yidden that they're coming out of Egypt. So Vayomer Moshe lifnei Hashem. So now Moshe says to God, Hein ani aral sefesoyim, I am hard of speech. Ve'eich yishma elai paro. How is Pharaoh going to listen to me? So before there's the revelation of the yichus of the three families, of the three tribes, Moshe said, Hein b'nei Yisroel, the Yidden don't listen to me. Hein b'nei Yisroel lo yishomu elai. Now, after the revelation of the yichus of the three tribes, he doesn't say the Yidden don't listen to him, because the Yidden do listen to him. But he himself says, Ani aral sefasoyim ve'ech yishma elai paro. So what is it that happens when Moshe Rabbeinu reveals the yichus of these three families? What does it mean to reveal the yichus? So the Ishbitzer says, the Bisyaki says, Kisha hayichus nizgala, when the yichus is revealed, azroyin mefoirash, then it becomes really clear, explicit, she'ein shum golus, that there is no exile. So when the yichus, when the we refer to yichus as genealogy, right? Mishpachology, but that's not what it means. Yichus means the relationship. That's what yichus is. The translation of the Hebrew word yachas means relationship. When the relationship is revealed, there's no exile. Where did the exile begin? The exile began with Adam. Adam and Chava, they ate from the tree of knowledge. And there begins the exile of Das, that before that they knew God, and then afterwards they don't know God. And this Das, this Pigam, this blemish in Das, continues to snowball until it becomes an avalanche. And God says to Avram, Yodoya Teda Kiger Yezaracho, you should know that you should know. You should know that you know. Because your children are not going to know that they don't know. Because Das is going to go deeper and deeper into exile until they come into Egypt and they're going to think that they're slaves. And so the exodus from Egypt is a redemption of Das, which of course begins with the lovemaking between Amram and Yocheved. They know each other in a new way. They remarry each other in a new way. They look in the mirrors and they see each other in new ways. And so the Das, the knowledge, is redeemed. And so Moshe Rabbeinu, he represents Das, which is the inside of Tiferes. This is the way that the Jewish people are redeemed. The Ishbitz is saying, if we look at it, this is what we see. Adam HaRishon, what did he lose when he ate from the tree of knowledge? She'ovad hayichus sheloi. He lost his relationship with God. V'shochach, and he forgot shehu yitzir kapoy shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the original sin of Adam is not the eating from the tree of knowledge. It's the forgetting that he's the work of God's hands. If there's a blemish in Adam, then there's chas v'chalila a blemish in the Creator. If Adam is only what God made, then if there's something wrong with Adam, then God made something wrong. How could Adam have believed that there was something flawed in himself? How? He could only believe that he was flawed, that there was something wrong with him, by forgetting that he's related to God as the work of God's hands. So he forgot his yichus. And that's the sin, as we were learning from the Tiferes Yosef, who brings from the Ishbitzer by Purim, the Gemara says, Minayin remez lahaman min haTorah, where is there a hint to Haman from the Torah? God says to Adam, Hamin ha'etz asher tzivisicho lebilti achomer, have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat of it? So don't read it Hamin, but Haman. So the Ishbitz explains this Gemara to mean, God says to Adam, do you really believe that you have eaten from a tree that I commanded you not to eat of it? Hamin ha'etz asher tzivisicho lebilti achomer. Do you believe, is this what you believe, that you could do something that I explicitly commanded you not to do? Is that what you believe? If you answer yes, it means that you believe there's something seriously wrong with you. If you believe there's something seriously wrong with you, then you believe that I made you faulty, flawed. How could you believe such a thing of me, says God? For you to believe that you are a sinner, you have to believe that I am somehow imperfect in the way I made you. Because if I would have made you perfect, you wouldn't have sinned. If you believe that you could do something against my will, that means that I've made you poorly. How could you believe such a thing? So the sin, according to the Ishbitzer, of Adam HaRishon is not the eating. It's the believing that he could do something that is against the will of God. That's the sin. How could Adam believe that he'd do something against the will of God? He's lost his yichus. He's forgotten who he is. That's the end of Das. He doesn't know anymore. He's not experiencing God as Yud-Kei Vav-Kei's self. He believes there's something wrong with him. God is the other, and he's Adam, and he's imperfect. He's looking at himself, and he's therefore looking at God. If you're looking, you're not knowing. If you're looking, you're looking with fleischige Augen. You're looking with meaty eyes. Then already your eyes are open. If your eyes are open, it's Aspaklaria de la Nahara. You're looking through the glass darkly. Before he ate of the tree of knowledge, Adam HaRishon was looking at God with his eyes closed, which is to say he wasn't seeing God, he knew God. All exile comes about through seeing, through not knowing, which means you've forgotten, you're in the darkness, you're in the choshech, which is the shikha, the forgetting. We've forgotten. If I knew that I am Yitzir Kapov Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I am the work of God's hands, that God fashioned me from clay and blew into my nostrils the breath of life and speech, and that I am nothing other than the life of God, Chai Hashem, then it would be impossible for me to sin. How can I sin? I'm a puppet. For reasons that I don't understand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to have forgotten. He wants me to go into the darkness. He wants me to fear all the things that I've done that separate me from God, that destroy the relationship between me and God, that anger God, that distance me from God, that are abominations to God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to be afraid. In that first question that God asks of Adam, ha min ha'etz, that hey of ha min ha'etz sets up a terror, an existential fear and trembling and terror and nightmare inside Adam. Ha, have you eaten? And ever since then, human beings, we're asking ourselves, have we eaten from the tree of knowledge? Have we done? Have we gone against the will of God? And so we're in exile. We're not going to get out of exile until we get past this. And so the Jewish people, V'lo shamu el Moshe, We couldn't hear when Moshe was telling us we're coming out of Egypt. Why? Because 100 years already in India, they've been trying to get rid of the class system, the caste system, where some people are untouchables. You think they can get rid of it? You think you can tell somebody you're free now? You're not an untouchable anymore? You're free to go wherever you want, to eat whatever you want, to marry whoever you want, to love whoever you want, to do any kind of work that you want? You think you can free somebody by that? You can't. It's a horrible system. People believe it. They believe in it. They see themselves in that caste. And that's how we were. We saw ourselves as slaves. What does it mean to be going out of Egypt? So I'll go out of Egypt, but I'm a slave. What difference does it make? The only way that we can come out of Egypt is to be shown that we never were in Egypt, that we never were slaves. Now, for that to happen, our yichus has to be revealed. The relationship between me and God has to be clear to me. And then I was never in exile. I was never tachas oil. I was never under any kind of yoke. No goy had his hand on my neck to push me down. No yitzhara, no evil inclination ever had me in its grip. No addiction was ever compelling me to do anything. For me to know that I never was under the power of anybody or anything, except for the Hashgacha Pratis, except for the individual supervision and guidance of God, I have to have a revelation of my yichus. I have to know how I am related to God. And so HaKadosh Baruch says to Moshe, you have to go back to the three tribes of Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, because Yaakov didn't say Ato, he didn't say you, until he got to Yehuda. He says, Reuven Bechori. He talks about the relationship with Reuven, but he doesn't say you. You are mine. So Moshe Rabbeinu has to fix that. You know, it says, Eile Moyadei Hashem Asher Tikra Oisim B'Moyadim. These are the festivals of God that you should announce in their times. So the Gemara says the word Oisam, you should call them, or you should announce them, or you should declare them or fix them. The word them could be read Atem, you. The Gemara says Atem, God says Beis Din has the Sanhedrin in Yerushalayim, or whatever it is, wherever the law is empowered or embodied, you can call the day, you can make Rosh Hashanah on such a day, it'll be on such a day. Make it a different day, it'll be a different day. What do you mean? If it's the day that God made the world, Hayoim Haras Olam, this is the day that God is the king of the world and everything has to pass in front of him like a sheep in front of a shepherd and so forth. I mean, like, what difference does it make what day we say it is? It's the day that God, every anniversary, comes around once a year. We're going to decide when the anniversary... Yeah, God says, you decide. Even if you make a mistake, it's okay. Afilu toim, afilu mutoim, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says. Atem afilu mutoim. Why? Because if it were possible for Beis Din to make a mistake, then it means there's a problem with the smicha. My Rebbe put his hands on me, his Rebbe put his hands on him, or going back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Where does Moshe Rabbeinu get the smicha from that he put on Yehoshua his hands? It says, V'sakoisi es kapi alecha. God puts his hands on Moshe. If there's a problem with the Beis Din, with the Sanhedrin, it goes all the way backwards. It means that the smicha wasn't good. How could this... Any pigam, any blemish that is in the Beis Din means it's gone all the way back. It means there's a blemish back, right? In the Sakoisius Kapialecha, the smicha of God to Moshe. It can't be. Just like Adam Arishon couldn't really sin because that would mean God has made him poorly, the Sanhedrin can't make a mistake because that would mean there's a problem in the smicha going all the way back. So the Gemara says, "Miyom shenignas sefer Yuchsin." From the day that the book of Yuchsin, that the book of relationships, and once upon a time that there was a big ledger of all the families and the yichas and the genealogy, and so it says, from the day that this book was put away, "Miyom shenignas sefer Yuchsin toshash." The Chachamim lost their power. So the Ishbit explains, of course they lost their power. If you can't see your direct relationship to Moshe and to God, then of course you can't feel your power. So before the Yidden can come out of Mitzrayim, before the Exodus can happen, they didn't have to realize they were never slaves, they were never in Golus, that the whole exile is an illusion which goes back to Adam Arishon eating from the tree of knowledge and falling into the illusion, which is the loss, the damage in his das, in his knowing, in his personal revelation of the divine, which he is himself, Yitzir Kapov of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, the work of God's hands, that the breath that he's breathing and the words that he's speaking are the breath of God that's inside him and nothing else. For us to come out of Egypt as free people, we have to hear our yichas explicitly, and we have to reconnect. We have to know what our relationships are. Then it's easy to bring us out. So when Moshe comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, "Heim b'nei Yisroeli, shomu elai," the Yidden wouldn't listen to him, wouldn't listen to me. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, all right, so the fixing of this, and with this we're going to end the exile. So here, now, after Moshe Rabbeinu has revealed the Yichas to the Yidden, and now there's no question, everybody in Mitzrayim already feels like this is the end of the exile. We don't really have to worry anymore. We're going out of here. Why? Because we were never in here. Because iron bars do not a prison make. Nor stone walls. It's not about, you know, being in Egypt. Because, you know, when we think about it, for thousands and thousands and thousands of years now, the Goyim have been trying to make us into slaves. Nebuchadnezzar tried to make us into slaves. Haman tried to make us. Everybody, the Nazim, Yimach Shemom V'Zichram, and the Muslims, they want to make us into slaves. If they don't want to get rid of us altogether, they want to make us into slaves. And we can't be made into slaves because our Yichas was revealed to us. Our relationship with God, and we're not slaves. You can't enslave us anymore. So this is the first thing that happened. And this is the revelation of the three tribes. But now Moshe Rabbeinu says to God, "Ani aral sefosayim ve'eich yishmeini paroi." I don't feel that what I say to Paroi really makes any difference to him. Like there's a Medrash Tanchuma says, "Omelai Moshe." God says, Moshe says, "Ribbono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe, Eini Mishalchei B'dvarav." I can't make Paroi send the Yidden out. I can't. Shenema B'dvarim Lo Yivose Oved. You can't chastise a slave with words. Paroi is really the slave. The Yidden are really free. But I don't see. It's not happening. The Eden believe me for sure. The Eden already know that they're not slaves, but Paroi doesn't know. Paroi is really, you know, he's descended from Ham, who's, you know, he's descended. He's Eved Avodim. Omaloi, so God says to Moshe, "Don't you worry. Va'ani Aksha, I am gonna harden Pharaoh's heart." How does that help? Omaloi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God says, "Moshe, ato tedaber, all you have to do is speak. Va'ani mevi mak, I'm going to bring the mak." So the Ishbitzer says, you know, this means everything we've said till now, everything that we've said till now, that to know God is to experience the divine in itself. Everything is just the opposite with Pari. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the master of the universe, reveals himself to us as Yudke Vovke, that there is no other, that we experience. We can't even say, we can't even bow to HaKadosh Baruch, we can't even bow to God at the moment that we say his name, because that is to experience God as the other. We are experiencing God as us, that my life, Chai Hashem, my life is just God, it's just God in me. So HaKadosh Baruch says to Moshe, as much as that is true for you, it's the opposite for Paroi. The truly wicked experience it as the exact opposite. So, of course, you can't make Paroi see that you are free and that the Eden are free and that there never was any Golas. In fact, I'm going to make, the more you say, the more you reveal the Yichas, the relationship of the human and the divine, the more that you reveal that the human being is chelek lekamim mal, is just a portion of God in the world, a projection, God projecting himself into the world, the more you reveal that, the harder Paroi is going to... That is the plague for Paroi. That revelation is the plague for Paroi. We live in a world right now, you know, when you open up the world and, you know, some hacker, some person who's never been to Israel, you know, he just dreams of, you know, hacking something, doing damage to the state of Israel, you know, like some the people in South America, people in places, they couldn't be further from Eretz Yisrael, they couldn't be further from Ayid. All they dream of is just like hurting Ayid, damaging Ayid. I can't make sense of what's going on in the world. People who've never met Ayid, they've never met me and you, they've heard about us. And they want to come from the other end of the world or sit in front of a computer somewhere and just and damage Eretz Yisrael or Klal Yisrael or whatever it is. Vosidus. It must be because there is a hisnoitzitzus, that there is this sparking of this revelation that God is giving to Moshe. Ushmi Hashem lo noidati lehem, that now is the moment God saying that I am making myself known to you as Yudke Vovke, which means that I'm making myself known to you inside yourself. And that very revelation is Va'ani Aksha. I am hardening the heart of the Goy. I am hardening the heart of the one who hates you. Because that revelation of the divine in us, that is the makkah for Yenem. That is the plague upon the other. And of course, then his reaction is, I've got to come at you with anything that I can to hurt you. And I have no other way of understanding it but to say that this revelation of the divine in the Jewish people, in the Yichas, in the relationship and the fixing of Reuven, Shimon and Levi, and the revelation of the self, the divine in the self, that this is what enrages, this is what brings down from the into the Goyim this hardening. Instead of seeing a softening, which you would expect, you know, every Goy in the world heard of all the terrible things that happened to the Yidden over the centuries and how history unrolled itself in such horrible things happening, and here the Yidden pick themselves up like a young lion that just jumps back up again and renews itself, and the Goy should stand and say, Gewalt, look at this pure miracle. Instead, what? Instead, what? There's this hardening. So it must mean that this is the revelation, these are the moments of revelation of the divine inside the self, which is Ushmi Hashem. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, no, now's the time to bring out the Eden from Mitzrayim. And this should be each of us. We should be able to experience the fact that Adam HaRishon, that Adam, the only reason that he felt cut off was because there was there a moment that he lost his yichus, that he forgot that he's the Yitzir Kapov. You and me, we should each be able to experience ourselves as the handiwork, the work of the hands of God, and that never, ever has there been a moment that we weren't being held in the hands of God, because the work isn't over. We're not finished. Not like God made us and then put us on the shelf somewhere and said, yada gai. That never happened. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has always been in charge, and everything that we have done because we are the works of the hand of God. Shkoyev.